¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Did you see the NBA's first ever 60-point triple-double?
I didn't watch it personally.
Yeah, I didn't see it either. But I don't.
I saw some of Trey Young's game. He had a really good game.
Didn't see James Harden 60-point.
He had the 50 before here in Houston. But this is James just saying, I just want to remind you, I can still do this.
Well, I think after that Nets game where he looked like now he's got to go out and prove that he's really.
He does this. This is for all of eternity, and then it's going to get to the playoffs, and there'll be a big game, and everyone's be like. What happened with James? It's unbelievable. 17 points on 5 of 21. He won't take that many shots, but like on 3 of 17. We do this we do this all the time. James, and then James like, oh my God, 60-point triple-double. It's never happened. Remember when he was 50-point triple-double on New Year's Eve? Yes. Yes, this is what James does. He tantalizes you with some of the hit with historic scoring. And playmaking. And then like, oh, what about when we really needed him to step up and be the alpha? You just don't get it enough.
No.
So he'll always be. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a surefire lock Hall of Famer. Be considered one of the probably the 5 to 7 greatest offensive players ever. Daryl Morey believes he is the greatest offensive player ever. And he uses data to back it up. So that's fine. I mean, to me, you have to also be that guy in the playoffs. I'm not saying that 82 doesn't matter, but I'm saying post 82 matters maybe a little bit more because you're going against the best competition. So, you know, I'd prefer that you're the best offensive player. And James's shooting is stinky in the postseason. I've been in these Twitter fights with people before. I've done the homework on.
Well, it depends. Doesn't it depend on which city and the strip clubs?
People have done that before. Who did that?
There was a correlation study, between James' crappy games and the
direct correlation.
Yeah,
he sucked in Miami,
and how good the strip clubs are.
Yeah, he sucked in because when you fly in and you have that night spent, and remember, James used to fly. I guess it was mentioned through Chris. I think it was Chris Paul who kind of let it leak through. He probably leaked it. I don't know who it was who leaked it. That James would take off. In the middle of a week, like if he had a day off, he'd just go to Cabo and then come right, you know, and fly back. And I don't know that that's the best case scenario for getting rest and taking care. He's a grown man. He can live his life. I get all that stuff. But it's probably not what LeBron's doing. It's not what Jordan did. It's probably not what the greatest players did, the all-time greats. I do think there's players who partied plenty. Charles Barkley's one of them. When it fell apart on Charles physically, it fell apart. It was over. So taking care of yourself also is pretty important as well. And James is a physical player who it's going to take it. So I think when it goes sideways on James physically, it's going to be an issue. If as soon as it hits his first step, now he is a very physical player and he's going to get to the free throw line and he's going to make them. But I think James's game is going to be tied a little bit to staying in decent conditioning because once he doesn't, I think you're going to start seeing soft tissue issues pop up more and more and more.
Yeah. James did that with the Rockets, by the way. James did the 60-point triple-double with the Rockets.
What are you talking about then?
Yeah. I don't know. I just saw a piece in a story that said that James Harden's 60-point. It was referring to.
Oh wait, is
the 60-point triple double?
Was that the 60 yeah. point on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 50 New Year's Eve. So it was 60 on New Year's
it
Eve.
It was at the Toyota Center. Yeah. Whatever.
I think it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Whatever. James Harden and the 76ers are a. Did you see the Bucks destroyed? Were destroying the Bulls last night, but. I believe that the 76ers are actually a contender in the East, although the Milwaukee Bucks are looking awful strong. Did you happen to see the passing of the Denver Nuggets last night? It was you want to talk about a fun team. Jokic is unbelievable with the basketball. And that whole team is maybe the best passing team. It's as good a passing team as the San Antonio 14 team. Was it 2014? That San Antonio team was unbelievable. The passing that Denver Nuggets did last night was unbelievable in leaving open shots for guys that were just and it's like Hoosiers, where there's at least five passes before anybody takes a shot.
You can't score if you don't shoot. You got people on the sideline. Norman Dale said, "No, five passes before you can."
Yeah.
Before you can play. So, you know, it is fun watching college basketball game because I pick it up around tournament, conference tournament time and then tournaments. I watch a game here and there. But it's almost like March Madness is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
The rest of it, you have to be a big-time college. You have to be invested in a college team. And I'm not invested in any one particular team. So I like picking up college basketball when it really, really matters. Everything else is just jostling for position. Unfortunately, and I used to be a voracious college basketball watcher. I mean, loved it. But with so many of the best players leaving now, where they're not there, even Drew Timmy, and I mean, there's some players that certainly buck that trend. But with so many of the best players leaving, you don't get a chance to really lock in with the team long term. So, but watching a tournament, it's still fun to see that there are still well-coached teams. It's not just 1-4. You know, we get so used to experience one guy isolates and shoots threes or kicks it out to other guys to shoot threes. It's like going in a time warp watching college basketball. You're like, oh, my God, did I go on a time? Why are guys posting up? Why are 7-foot guys posting up against other 7-foot guys? And there's backside movement and back cuts, backdoor screens with a high – you know, with a high post making a bounce pass on a backdoor cut. You actually see real basketball being coached and played on college basketball as opposed to in the NBA where, I mean, it's basketball, but let's face it, it's really more of a math contest. How many threes can I get versus your threes? How many threes can I get up and how many efficiency baskets? You don't really hear as much, other than gamblers, you don't hear as much analytics data as it pertains to college basketball. You just don't. In the NBA, if you pay attention at all to NBA Twitter, it's very heavily, a certain segment of NBA Twitter is very heavily analytics-based. And so you see that in NBA discussions are based upon a player's analytical, analytics numbers and primarily three-point shooting. In college basketball, it's kind of throwback. Analytics don't come into it as much, and teams prefer to play. A lot of the older coaches are going to keep playing the same style they played. They're not going to play, a 1-4 wide set with no true big men. It's just not how college basketball is played. So if you're an old-school basketball fan and you're not watching college basketball fan, you're kind of missing out on basketball you like.
Yeah. No, it is a better brand of basketball. Except, again, I love that Spurs team. And this – I just don't – the – just because – Jokic looks the way he does. I mean, he is as skilled a basketball player, honestly, as there is in the game. He's got 7 feet. He's got handles, and he's got unbelievable passing skill. I like the way the Denver Nuggets play basketball. I really do. And you were talking about Trae Young. I mean, that is so I don't know. It's all one-on-one basketball, and he can beat any guy, and so he should. And that's the way that they play basketball. I'm watching highlights of them right now, and it's awesome. But it's not. It's just 1-on-5 basketball. I've never been into that. Never been into it
since the days of
just Steven Catino. I just hated it.
Here's what you have to understand. My kids are more like basketball historians, and part of that is 2K, playing with older, you know, playing with older players. And I taught them. I had them watch, you know, all-time greats, Karl Malone and Barkley. But then also playing 2K, they've gotten to know a lot of – they know a lot about 80s basketball, 90s mm-hmm. basketball, 2000s, all this. But their basketball that they've grown up watching is exactly what NBA basketball is now. I mean, that's what they know. What you and I know, which is, to us, the 1-4 wide, one guy isolates and then either gets a three, gets a layup, or kicks it out for somebody else to shoot a three. To them, that's what basketball looks like.
Right. Oh, no, that is basketball now. There's no question about it. All right, still ahead, Kelvin Sampson joining us at the bottom of the hour right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, SiteJab.
SiteJab is a company in Houston. They've been in business for over two decades. Actually, they also have a location in San Antonio. But Hector Garcia and his staff do an amazing job of taking your website, stripping it down to the studs, and then rebuilding it with analytics baked into it. What I mean by analytics is there's historical studies of data, an actual real-world study of what keeps people engaged. Is there a color scheme? Is there a layout? How many, you know, how long will someone stay on a page? How many pages will they click through before they leave the site? Because they can tell how long someone stays on the site, how sticky the site is. What they want to do is make your site very sticky. They want to make the splash page sticky right up front, but then they also want people to be able to get the information that they want very quickly and then convert them to business leads. If you want to create an e-commerce portal on your site, they can do that for you as well. They can film videos and put the videos on your site. They're very professional in terms of how they operate and how they get people to engage with your site. So when it's all said and done, you have an interactive billboard for your company that can convert those eyes into business leads. Make sure that SiteJab.com is a site that you stop by and you consult with them to make sure that you're getting the most out of your own website. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Time to talk about my man, Jeff Aronoff, over at Absolute Marble and Granite. He is ready to redo whatever it is that you need redoing, okay? Jeff Aronoff is awesome at it. And it's going to be a big job, people. I mean, you don't want to... Listen, I want you to paint that wall. No, he's not painting your wall. He's just not doing that. Now, you want to redo the entire kitchen, all cabinets and countertops? Okay. You want to redo the flooring in the kitchen, the tile? Okay. Or you can put wood, whatever it is that you want to put. Jeff Aronoff can work with it all. It says Absolute Marble and Granite, but you know what? He can do it all, and he does it all every single day. In the bathrooms, what you want to redo that entire shower and toilet and vanity? Okay. Jeff Aronoff gets that job done. He does it with his own people, okay? He's not subcontracting it. He's doing it. He's overseeing it. He's going to come. He is going to give you the estimate. He is going to give you – he's going to help you pick whatever it is that you need picking, and he is going to do all the work. So if you're looking for that kind of customized stuff just for you and attention to detail and making sure that it is a great job done, Jeff Aronoff is here for you. 713-880-2822. No matter what it is, redoing it. Redo it, people. Your house is old. It's got to be redone. 713-880-2822.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, Lance, the Astros are not going to arbitration with anybody. That's a good thing. They came to terms on a contract with everybody. They don't want to be fighting with people over money. And I think it's probably a pretty good look, especially since I don't know what people think of Jim Crane right now. He can't be he's heard it. I mean, he has heard about Carlos Correa for a long time. He has heard people saying, hey, we got to keep Correa. Hey, we got to keep Correa. Hey, we got... I don't know. I'm Jeremy Branham was just tweeting something, okay. And And then he tweeted something. Well, he feels that Boris was done with the Astros, and he wasn't. Boris tried up until the 11th hour to call the Astros, and they wouldn't respond. Carlos wanted to come here. His family wanted to stay here. They wanted to be here, and Boris tried, and the Astros didn't respond. And that's fine. They were done with Carlos. That's fine. I think they liked the idea of not paying him $32 million a year, which is what they offered him in November. That's fine. But make no mistake about it, Boris and Correa tried to stay here in the city of Houston. That said, he's gone, and the Astros are moving on. They like Jeremy Pena. That's fine. That is good. I hope Jeremy Pena plays well, and maybe they're right. Maybe, man, for what you're paying Jeremy Pena, with what you would have had to pay Carlos Correa, maybe it's going to be a great deal for the Houston Astros.
A lot of eyes on that kid.
Yep.
I'm not going to say pressure is what you make of it. I would say there's a lot of pressure on him, but frankly, pressure is self-made, so only if he feels pressure is he going to be pressured. There's no way he can live up to Carlos, but I will say this. If Jeremy Pena ends up being a solid, competent major league hitter, hits 267 and can get you, you know, get into the double-digit home run mark and, will, you know, and has some, you know, plays a solid defensive shortstop, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and comes up with some clutch hits from time to time, people will welcome him with open arms.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to be very welcoming early on.
Absolutely.
Everyone wants Jeremy Pena to succeed.
So the Astros couldn't go to arbitration with somebody and haggle over hundreds of thousands of dollars after all of that happened with Carlos Correa, right? So they did come to terms. Okay, I want you to put in order how much these guys, from the highest to the lowest, how much they're getting paid. Ryan Stanek, Phil Maton, Josh James, Aledmys Diaz, and Framber Valdez.
From the highest to the lowest?
The highest to the lowest.
Okay, say it again.
Stanek, Maton, James, Diaz.
Josh James,
Aledmys Diaz, Framber Valdez.
Well, Framber won. Diaz two. Stanek, Maton, James.
Wrong. It goes Diaz.
Well, hold on. This is like Wordle. Wait, it goes Diaz first because of his veteran status? Okay, so it's Diaz, Framber, Stanek, Maton, James?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I got the Wordle on two, Tyler. I got the Wordle on two. There's five of them?
There's five of them.
Not to derail you too much, but there's a new one called Weddle where you guess the NFL player, and it tells you if you get the team right, it's green. If you get the division right, it's yellow. And then it goes age, height, and number. And so it tells you if you need to go up on the number, like if they're number 13, then it tells you to go up. It's yellow.
My kids have been playing one called Hurdle. I think,
Weddle.
Yeah, it's like Weddle Word Game.
Yeah.
.com.
There's another one called, I think it's Purdle, which is the basketball version of it also that they've been playing. I was already out on Wordle. I got bored with it.
It's Weddle, but there's no Weddle word. Okay.
It's Weddle.
Unscrambled like letters,
boy.
Weddle?
No, like Edel.
No,
Eric
it's Weddle, like white boy.
Weddle.
Yeah, Weddle Word. I think it's Weddle Word Game. .com.
Okay. It's nothing that's coming up. It's unscrambled letters is all that is. Weddle also in Urban Dictionary means it's weed or marijuana. Weed or marijuana. That's all I got. I got no NFL game. W-E-D-D-L.
Sorry. What is this? What's the... I think it's Weddle Game. I don't know. I'm going to the site.
Man, we got
to
take a break. Kelvin Sampson's coming in. You guys are bull cornered.
I got
about
it.
Weddle,
NFL wordy. That's it. Wordle. NFL Wordle. Kelvin Sampson's joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want you to join us at the Bon Ton Roulet Cajun Throwdown, the BTR Cajun Throwdown, ready to party April 8th and 9th. Crawfish lovers, listen up. It's all happening at the good old days fairgrounds in Hitchcock. This is the best lineup that they've had. We've been there before. I've gone before, okay? And it's fun. And there's music, and there's fun, and there's crawfish, and there's Zydeco, and there's dancing, and there's kids. There's a crawfish eating contest, a kids zone. It's all great, okay? Get tickets now, btrcajunthrowdown.com. If you are a crawfish fan, if you're you love Louisiana music, you got Gary Allen, Aaron Watson, Wayne Toops, Jason Cassidy, and more. BTRCajunThrowdown.com. Make sure you tell them that you heard it. If they're going to ask you, where did you hear it? You tell them you heard it on the radio on ESPN 97.5. BTRCajunThrowdown.com. It's powered by Michelob Ultra, BB's Tex Orleans, Mac Vibe Services, Tandem Trucking, and Energy Rental Solutions. It's the Bon Ton Roulette Cajun Throwdown, April 8th and 9th. BTRCajunThrowdown.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're welcoming back the head coach of the Houston Cougars, who is in the Sweet 16 for the third straight year, and just an unbelievable job. One of the great stories of the tournament, Kelvin Sampson, rejoining the show. Coach, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on. How about you guys?
We're doing great, man. We want to thank you because you gave us a whole segment on what a fart in a skillet is. We had to look it up.
And that was new.
Never heard it before, Coach. And we guessed that you meant that Tajay was bouncing around all over the place uncontrollably when he first got there. Is that what you meant by fart in a skillet?
Yeah, you know, think of a little kid at a birthday party. You blow up those balloons as tight as they go. And then if you just turn around and just turn it loose, you know, it just goes all over the place. That's kind of what that is. But I didn't come up with that term myself. I first heard that term in 1979 when I was at Michigan State University with Judd Heathcote. So I'll give Judd the credit, but we had some crazy guards at Michigan State back then, and Judge said that in that statement for some reason always stuck with me. And I, too, have had some partner skillet guards over the years.
Kelvin Sampson with us here on ESPN. It spurred an entire article in The Athletic, too, in which we learned a lot about Tajay, Coach, and you took a chance on him, but Coach Barnes had told you, you know, how athletic he was despite the five surgeries they had on that leg, and what a blessing it was for you to get Tajay. With all the injuries that you've had, he has been unbelievable for you.
You know, when I watched him on film, and I have a lot of good coaches in that league, Dan Munson's the coach at Long Beach State, who was one of my former assistants on the USA team I was a head coach on. And he told me, you know, he doesn't score it that well. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Then he said, but that means he's a perfect player for you. So I took that as a compliment, I guess, but I understood what he meant. But I thought Tajay would be a kid that we could mold and develop into a role that was something we needed. You know, Dejon Giroux last year gave us athleticism. He could make athletic plays unscripted. And you know, Quentin's athleticism was a different way. Justin Gorham was more of a motor guy. Gresham was a shot blocker and athletic around the rim. So we didn't want to lose our athleticism. You know, Kyler's kind of a quiet athlete, a little more athletic than you think, but not dynamic. So we had three or four guys we were looking at that all kind of wanted to come here. But we chose Tajay because of his athleticism, but more so because of his humility. You know, he has a quiet confidence, a quiet humility, high character kid, graduated on time, has a great mother. You know, all those things are important to us. You know, everybody sees, you know, Tajay as a dunker and the number on his jersey, but for us, it goes so much further under that veneer that he has. So he's been a blessing for us, but I think it's been good for both parties. I think we've been equally as good for him.
Well, Coach, you had Jamal Shedd I thought there was a time in that game where you could sense that Illinois was you know, they were making a little bit of a comeback. Melendez, I think, is a really talented young player for them. And then you had Jamal Shedd hit, I think it was six in a row at one point, and it felt like that was a really one of the defining moments in reestablishing control of that game.
Right.
Talk about the different players that you had who stepped up in that particular game to kind of reassert the dominance of your unit.
Well, in the second half especially, who we're going to go to has a lot to do with who's guarding him and how they defend middle pick and rolls. You know, that big kid they had, Kofi Coburn, you know, we just kept tag-teaming him on defense between Josh Carlton and Reggie Chaney. You know, we just made him work. You know, weren't going to stop him. That was never the goal. But he had to work for all his points, and that kind of, I thought, hurt him on defense, because as the game wore on, when Josh would come up and set the middle ball screen, he got further and further back, which allowed Jamal to turn the corner and get downhill, which forced corner help. And Jamal did a great job finding the corners. When the corner help didn't come, he did a good job with his floater and his elbow jumper. And those are just reads. You know, you just read how they're defending certain actions. You know, sometimes we'll have a matchup we like with Tajay. We'll isolate him in there before he wants it. Fabian has a matchup we like. We'll go at him. So we're not going to run a free-flowing passing game, continuity, cute, pretty. You know, our offense is designed to take advantage of matchups. But Jamal was the guy that we wanted to go at down the stretch. But that's not to minimize Tajay and what Kyler did early in the game.
Reggie Miller made a comment about you being underseeded during the game, at the end of the game. And that's obviously the case. You're a five seed. You guys were underseeded. You couldn't blame the selection committee. You had two of your best players out. I could understand the thought process maybe. But I think the big difference, Coach, is that you're not built to be a one- or two-player team who lead the charge. You guys build, and I would assume intentionally, and this is what the question I have for you, is it intentional that you build so that you're not reliant upon one or two guys, and that really the next man up works better for you because of how you guys play?
Well, first of all, we don't care about seeding. We just care about how we prepare for the next opponent. You know, when you're in the tournament, you can't be big picture. Last week, getting ready for our conference tournament, our first game was Cincinnati. So we just focused on preparing for Cincinnati, how we wanted to defend them and go at them. Next game was Tulane. Next game was Memphis. After that, tournament came, and our next game was UAB. Well, we just focused on preparing for them. The next game was Illinois. Same thing. And the next game's Arizona. That's just kind of how we do it. You know, we don't sit around looking at what other people say or think. We just kind of get inside our cocoon and just prepare for the next game. I mean, we can play really good tomorrow night and lose. That's how good Arizona is. But the way our program is set up is based on depth. You know, the year that we went 33-4 and lost to Kentucky, I felt like we were going to win that game because I thought, we had matchups we could win. And we're up three with 56 seconds to go. We were up three. Calipari called timeout. We came right out of it and made a play. But the point is, on that team, we started Jalen Robinson, Corey Davis, and Armani Brooks. But the two guys that came off the bench was Dejon Giroux and Nate Hinton. We had five high-level quality guards. So if somebody had gone down, look who we had to move up. And that's what we had with this year's team. You know, we could have easily started Marcus Sasser, Tremont Mark, and let's say Kyler Edwards. Well, look who we had coming off the bench, Jamal Shedd and Tajay Moore. That's five high-quality guards. And that's always our goal. If we have five guards, and usually we play four-and-a-half post guys, two fours, two fives, and we have a guy there that we can plug in as needed. So we've always had a formula for success in recruiting and roster management. We've always had a formula for success in scheduling. And that's the way we do it. We don't deter from it. We know who we are. And we're very determined to do it our way and the right way.
Kelvin Sampson with us here on ESPN 97.5. The Cougs in the Sweet 16 tomorrow night against Arizona, and we can't wait. Coach, Tremont Mark gets his surgery on basically the same day that Sasser goes down. At that, yeah. On that day, did you think, have you exceeded expectations from that day to today? Did you think at any point that maybe the season was in jeopardy after those two events?
Never thought about any of that. I just kind of, in the season, I never think big picture, ever. I just stay okay. I knew that we had a team prayer the night before Tremont's surgery. That would have been the night of December 21st. We're all together at my house. We went to our scout report and prep for Texas State, and after it was over, one of our assistant coaches did a great job in praying for a successful surgery and recovery for Tremont. And then we got the next day, went and played probably our most complete game of the year, just completely dominated a really good Texas State team who won their conference this year, by the way, Sun Belt. Then the next day after the game, I got the news. I knew Kyler was going to be out a couple of weeks because he had a grade 2 sprain. I knew Tremont was done for the year. What I didn't expect was the call from John Houston about Marcus. So, when you get the call, you just move on. I mean, there's no panic. There's no woe is me. Nobody really cares. I know how people are. You have guys go down with injury, and 2 weeks later they forget that, want to know what's wrong with the team. Why aren't you winning? That's a good thing about being 66, guys. You don't react to them a whole lot. You just kind of, okay, here's how we're going to win. Here's who we're going to start. Here's who we're going to come off the bench. And then day by day, we just work on roles. Here's the role we want you to play. And then we practice that way with them executing that role in practice. Then we go to games. Everybody kind of slots into their role. And then our team becomes our greatest strength, not the individual. So we have good players. But I think our team is better than our individual talent now that Marcus and Tremont went down. And our kids believe in it. You got to have kids that if you tell them to run through a brick wall, they'll look at you and say, "Coach, can I get a running start?" And that's a big reason why we've succeeded when we've had all this adversity.
They certainly play that way, Coach, and it's a lot of fun to watch. We had Dan Bonner on earlier this week, Coach, and he said that maybe you're underplaying how good your offense is. This offense seems to be a little better than last year's offense. Do you believe that?
Well, when you're 31 and 5, you don't underplay anything. When you're 31 and 5, you're good. I don't have to underplay anything. We're 31 and 5. That's bottom line. We're 31 and 5. You're really good on offense. You're really good on defense. You're really good at a lot of things. There's 357 Division I teams in America. There's only 16 left. The 16 left strengths are way better than any of their weaknesses.
And there's only 6 teams that are in the KenPom defensive and top 25 defensive and offensive efficiency, and you're one of them, Coach.
I'm just telling you this, Coach. I talked to a couple of football people over the weekend because of the Deshaun Watson trade. And basketball came up, and Cougar basketball, and both the guys I talked to said, "Man, U of H is so much fun to watch because they like old school, get after it defensively, and guys buy in." And for people who are in the, and this is what I really appreciate, your team plays for each other in an era where guys play for themselves so much. It's fun to see guys still play for each other like a brotherhood.
Trust me, John and Lance, I appreciate that so much. I appreciate that you guys recognize that because we fight so hard to establish that in our program. Good, bad, or indifferent, you're going to be known for something. But you've got to be determined. You kind of got to be a kind of a jerk which I guess comes easy to me. But you can't settle when you put together your team, because you got to recruit kids you can coach. You know, the common fan has no clue what recruiting is. They see a kid's numbers or hear what somebody says about him, and their first response is, "Oh wow, we need to get him." And whereas, that 3 years later, that same kid that you wanted to get either got kicked off the team, he got his coach fired, he had a terrible career because he was a me, I guy. And trust me, we know how to determine who those guys are, which is why our team, every year, we turn guys over, but our culture and our winning remains the same because we know which kids to take and which kids not to take. But the kids you don't take is way more important than the kids you do take. Because if you recruit one guy can screw your culture up. I don't care if he's a good player. I don't know if he's not a guy that can fit into our culture, I'd rather play against him. And a lot of these guys that other people say we need to get, we've never lost to those teams.
That's Kelvin Sampson right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, we appreciate your time. We won't take any more of it. Man, congratulations. This city is squarely behind you. Everybody I know is heading to San Antonio. It's nice that it's that close, isn't it? And I'm sure you're going to have a great fan base cheering you guys on tomorrow night and Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to need them, John. We need to get this thing rocking like Fertitta South. We've got a honey bear, one of those Wolverines, Wildcat, I guess that's their nickname, the Wildcats. I mean, this is a really, really, really high level, skilled offensive team that is well coached and know what they're doing on defense. So, but I know one thing: the Cougs, we don't back down for anybody. So, whatever time the tip time is, who's going to get after him, man?
Well, Nolan had 40 minutes of hell. I'm sure it's. I don't know what you guys could call it, what you guys call it, but it's very similar, I'm sure, for every team. And Illinois felt it. They went a stretch where they couldn't do anything because they were just tired of you guys just getting all into their kitchen all game long.
You got to love when you make people say, I don't want to have to deal with this.
I don't want to deal with this right now
in the 37th minute of the game.
Right, right. That is great stuff, Coach. Man, we really appreciate you and what you're doing and this basketball team because it is fun for us, that's for sure. And best of luck tomorrow night.
Okay, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate it, Coach. Good luck.
There's Kelvin Sampson right here.
Thank you.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's the best damn coach in the city. And it's not – I don't know. I don't know that it's even close how good that guy is. Doing what he's doing. He named four guys that were on that team last year.
I'd forgotten.
He named four guys that are gone.
Reload.
Incredible. And then you lose Sasser and Mark on top of it. That's six guys.
I mean, Drode was such an important part. And I don't even think about that.
Quentin. And I mean, are you kidding me?
He lost the first round. I don't even think about that because that's rare to reload like that, lose two guys. So it's almost a full damn reload, like four of the five. And you know what they do? Just like, whatever.
Four of the five, and then lose two more six. I know. I mean, that's unbelievable. Just unbelievable how good that is. Well, tomorrow night, beat Arizona. Let's go. Time to talk HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. You're looking for the best way to get that payroll out to your people. And if you're still doing it yourself, then you're just doing it wrong, especially if you have 20, 30, 80, 100 employees. It's just so hard to keep track of. You're just wasting money on paying people to do that when you can just have HRP do it. We've got one person in there, Laura. That's it. With 75 employees or whatever we have, and just one person because HRP takes care of everything. They take care of the taxes. They take care of our HR. They take care of our payroll. You don't have to have a big payroll office because HRP is doing it all. You're looking for that kind of service, that kind of customized plan for you, that kind of price for you, and just the expertise that they have at HRP. Please try them. If you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, try ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. This is a Brazilian singer, Lance.
Hey.
Doesn't she look like a Brazilian singer?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, apparently she was hospitalized, though. It's a problem.
Bear attack?
She wouldn't fart in front of her partner. So it caused internal problems and stomach pains, and she ended up in the hospital. Have you ever held a fart and ended up in the hospital?
I did not end up in a hospital.
Have you ever held a fart?
Sure.
But you never.
I'm not an animal.
You never ended. Name one time you held a fart.
Oh, I'm around my wife all the time.
You do?
Yeah. Have you seen like Ring videos of guys walking out of a date's house and they just let out these long farts? They're hilarious.
Are they real?
Yeah. Just look up like fart ring video and it'll, or maybe ring fart
I don't
video.
Know. Ring,
I pretended to be asleep when I was a kid. Driving home from Kansas one time, and I was crushing the car. And my dad at one point goes, I mean, it's a long-ass drive. He goes, somebody wake him up. This is ridiculous. They're trying not to laugh. The whole time, I was blasting them for like an hour, pretending like, you know, giving a little fake snore. And then my dad, he's like, oh, damn it to hell.
Marsha.
Yeah.
Wake him up.
Get him up. I know my dad sounds like Bill O'Brien. I get it.
He does. The Kremlin insists it's not killing Ukrainians, but helping them.
Hmm.
So do you think that the Kremlin, that Russia is helping...
Bombing helps them?
Yes.
Because they are going to be under Russian rule?
Because then they won't have those Nazis. Oh. I know Zelensky's Jewish.
That's right. I forgot. That's their game. They're saying, oh, man, there's so many Nazis over here in the Ukraine. Let us clean this up for you, boys.
Yeah. Shout out
for Russia for taking care of all those Nazis.
A Northampton High School principal has been relieved of his duties after calling students asshats. Do you think that he should be relieved or he should get some kind of accommodation?
You just say, don't say that anymore, Paul. That's what you say. Asshats?
Are students not asshats?
You shouldn't be fired. You say he lost his job?
He lost his job.
Should not lose your job over calling somebody an asshat.
That's especially students.
Or your students.
Kids are asshats.
Okay, you don't want to single out one. But if you say you guys are acting like a bunch of asshats, I'm telling my mom.
How old were these kids again?
They're in high school.
Oh my God.
That makes it even worse.
Yeah.
High school kids?
They are asshats.
Man, y'all are raising some snitch-ass snitches. That's just the truth. You people are raising some snitchy-ass snitches. We tell our kids, y'all don't need to be snitching, except sometime I will get my daughter to snitch. Well, she's a natural-born snitch. But like, if there's certain things to snitch on, then I promote snitching. But in general, don't snitch on mom. Guess what mom said? I don't care what mom said.
No.
Don't try to play me against mom and snitch on her.
Ugh. A woman swallowed a sewing needle, but she was...
Next story.
Able to survive.
Oh!
Just
go to the next story. I don't want to think about it.
She swallowed a sewing needle and survived. Here's the picture of it in her.
Next story. No.
No, there's the picture of it in her rib cage.
I don't want to think about things like that. Could you imagine if it were trapped in your esophagus?
Oh, here's worse. A sleeping teen gets a sickle lodged in his head.
I mean, that could happen.
What are you talking about?
That's not.
How is a sickle like
it's on the outside. Something on the inside that you can't control makes me freak out.
Would you rather have a sickle in your head while you're sleeping or swallow a needle?
They could go in for surgery, I guess, and get the needle.
But the sickle is outside that should not be inside,
and it's in your head.
You're probably.
It's a sickle.
No, that's what I'm saying. The sickle is going to be doing damage on the skull. Probably the needle, I guess. That's like you as a kid. Like, what do you rather have? You like to slide down a slide full of razor blades into a pool of alcohol? I get B? Or have sharks eat out your intestines while you're alive and eat your wiener. Like, none of them. None of them. None of these sixth grades would you rather. Like, where Heel played that game with us, and it was terrible.
He's the worst.
It was always terrible.
All right, we're done. It's Vanessa and Gallant next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, Maestro.
Maestro Dobel has so many different tequilas for you to choose from. They're different varieties of tequilas, and there's something that's different for you when it comes to the flavor and the taste. Now, we're talking about 100% pure agave is used when they make their tequilas. 11 generations of tequila makers, but they're añejo extra, the reposado. These are three different types of tequilas that are going to be different from what you're used to with your silvers. Their silver is a high-quality silver, but they also have a smoked silver, which gives it a little smokier flavor. You also have the Cristalinos called the Diamante, which are charcoal-filtered. So there's something for everyone with my friends over at Maestro Dobel. Wherever fine liquors are sold, Maestro Dobel.
ESPN 97.5.